Hey there, Tailgate Nation. I hope your summer is in full swing. I know ours is. If you heard last week's show, you know I am currently packed into a Honda Odyssey traveling around the country. We are just outside Dayton, Ohio, and we are making our way up the East Coast. So we won't be having a new show this week, but we're going to be bringing you part two of that great interview. The most listened to episodes of Tailgate Radio with almost 500,000 downloads with WWE Hall of Fame announcer, barbecue connoisseur and entrepreneur, and all-around great guy, Jim Ross. So we appreciate you downloading this week's episode. We're getting ready to bring you some really cool. We're going to update the show coming in this summer and in the fall for football season, and we've got some really great guests that we're going to be bringing you as well. So kick back, relax, and enjoy part two of this great interview we had with WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross. All right, folks, welcome back to Tailgate Radio. It's time for us to jump back into part two of our interview with WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross. And you're not going to want to miss this. He's got some great insight on cooking, on life, and just all the things he's got going on right now. So let's join that interview. Part two of our interview with WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross.
Barbecuing really is smoking to me.
Yep.
Grilling's a different ballgame, but nonetheless... I like to grill salmon. It's easy. You can put it on a plank. You can put it in a little container, little disposable aluminum thing that's got perforated, perforated on the bottom. Makes it easy. It's really foolproof. But nonetheless, once you cook that salmon, and right before, about 2 or 3 minutes before it's done, if you take some of that mustard and just drizzle it on the salmon, it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. The honey blends with it well. The mustard, the honey mustard blend makes it great. The jalapeno gives it a little bit of personality. If there's any fishy taste, you eliminate it with that. So that's kind of one of my go-tos. I love the grill salmon, and then drizzle that honey mustard on there at the very end, last couple 3 minutes of the process. Makes a difference in night and day for it. And then finally, we got that hot barbecue sauce. And it's funny, and you may get this too. We're working on making a hot sauce, not a barbecue sauce, but we got that. We're looking at making a healthy, low sodium, health conscious hot sauce, and we're working on that right now. Plus, I'm working on a diabetic-friendly, non-fructose corn syrup barbecue sauce.
That's a phenomenal idea, because diabetes is a huge epidemic, and if you can break the code on that, you got yourself a home run.
Well, I've got a bottle of it in my kitchen, in my fridge right now. We've got the color. We got the texture. We've got a lot of the key things that I look for, but obviously the most important thing is taste. It's close. And I think if I was greedy and I wanted to hurry up and get on the market like this year, I would have probably already done it. But that's just not the way I do business. I wasn't quite content with the taste. And so we're going to take our time, and we're working on that. So it would be heart healthy, diabetic friendly, and a real thick, rich, full-bodied barbecue sauce. I'm not big on the real runny, vinegary sauces that you can get for 99 cents a bottle. That doesn't do anything for me. So we're working on both those projects right now, the heart-conscious, diabetic-friendly barbecue sauce and a hot sauce. But I find that people buy a bottle of our hot barbecue sauce, and for some people, you can't make it hot enough for them. It's almost like it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You ever think about making one JR with those ghost chilies?
Yeah.
the ones, if you don't have gloves on, burn the skin off your hands. And I, I, I've, I've just never been that brazen. And it, to me, sometimes that strong a flavor overwhelms the meat.
Yep.
So it becomes the dominant thing you taste. And I want it to complement the meat, not become the taste.
Right.
So, you know, I'm having fun doing this stuff. You know, I do a lot of projects. I'm going to do an MMA fight on Friday night, October 3rd, for on pay-per-view for Battleground MMA. That'll be my first MMA fight. I did a boxing match for Fox Sports and Oscar De La Hoya's company, Golden Boy Promotions, back in on Memorial Day. And I'm thinking that's will be the last of my boxing outings. But I go on the road. I get ideas from restaurants I eat in, or things I see, or whatever have you. And I just love the foodie aspect of my life. And we've written two best-selling books, and one of them was a cookbook. We've written two cookbooks all together, and they've both done really well.
Yeah, that cover looked on that one cookbook looked like a really difficult photo shoot. I remember some of the females on the cover there. That was a tough assignment, I bet.
Stacy Keebler and Trish Stratus were on the front, and I can't remember. I think Lita and Terry Runnels were on the back cover. And then I did another one with Deborah, Steve Austin's ex-wife, who was on the one book. And her and Steve and The Rock were on the cover of that one with me, and that was a bestseller. That was ostensibly the wrestlers were supposed to provide their favorite recipes for their mom or their granny or their wife, their aunt or whatever, uncle, whatever it may be. And of course, that's like asking kids to turn their homework in on time. That didn't happen. So my wife rolled her sleeves up, and she came up with some amazing recipes that we utilized. Their names or their stage personas or whatever. So that did real well. I love the food business. I love talking about it. I love writing about it. You know, obviously, if anybody's seen me, they know I love eating.
Well, and didn't I see I don't know if it was authentic, but I saw a photo of a JR's barbecue trailer. Now, is that yours or is that a photoshopped?
No, we had a trailer.
Okay.
We had a trailer that we used in connection with our barbecue restaurant that we had here in Norman. And that was a learning experience. You know, if I knew what I know now about restaurants and running a restaurant and some things that you got to do and some things that you definitely got to avoid, we would have been, that restaurant was doing great. We had about an 80-seat restaurant, small barbecue joint. That's what I wanted, was a barbecue joint. And I didn't really want a restaurant. I wanted a old school, mom and pop looking joint. My partner's got a little bit more elaborate than I would have chosen to have been. But your partners, though, they were in the restaurant business and still are. But we got a real rough location. And then the state of Oklahoma decided to close our exit off I-35 for resurfacing and widening the roads, which took about 2 or 3 years, it seemed like. So you had to go an extra mile one way or the other to get back to our restaurant, which is on the access road. So that pretty well put a knife in us because we were done at that point. So, but who knows? I may do it. We may look at another restaurant one of these days. Don't know if I'll do barbecue exclusively. You know, we're a college town, and so there's a lot of options. But nonetheless, it's fun talking about it, and I'm looking forward to that's a great thing, like I said, about Saturdays. Every Saturday you know that somebody you know or you don't know will be tailgating. And the tailgating community are normally very friendly. And there's no doors on the tailgate. They're all outside. That's the great thing, but there's no boundaries. There's no doors. It doesn't know race, color, or creed. I love that. I love that. And it breaks a lot of ice. Even when you're playing somebody in their team in a big, big game that day or that night, the tailgating oftentimes breaks the ice, cuts the tension, and you go in and break bread with somebody, and at the end of the day, it's a great experience.
Yeah, we always say, you know, whether it's a $500,000 trailer or a hibachi and a hatchback, everybody's welcome at a tailgate.
I'm with you. I've gone to tailgates, in the Big 12. Last year I went to the tailgate. I tailgated with a bunch of Notre Dame fans at South Bend. And we had a group of, and of course, and everybody knows where your allegiance lies because of what you're wearing, as a rule. And, you know, I had my crimson colors on because I was an OU fan. And certainly the year before, Notre Dame had come down to Norman and had beat the Sooners. And that year they went to the national championship game. And unfortunately for them, they played Alabama, who was loaded. And but going out there before the game, everybody was very friendly. And, you know, the cold beer was really cold. And they're asking what you wanted to eat and what do you like. And, boy, they were just hospitable. After the game was over in South Bend, Oklahoma had won that game, surprisingly, because they were the underdog going in. But those folks were just as friendly back at their tailgate. We just had a little different line of conversation to talk about and to analyze the game, what was good or bad or what have you. And it's the same hospitality. So I think that tailgating is a great institution. And I've always thought it would be kind of cool, you know, to go to a European football game, a Premier League game or something like that in the UK and see how their tailgates were. What's their specialties and all that kind of thing. So I'm a big tailgate guy. I think it's great. I think people should do it more often. You don't have to be real fancy. You don't need to have a trailer or a RV. You can have that hibachi. You can have simpler the better.
Yeah. Old Smokey out there in the parking lot. Remember those?
Yeah. So it's a good thing, and here's something I admire. I drive by OU Stadium and they get their tents up, the tailgaters do, the day before the game, and then that night they'll start smoking, and you can drive through there at night, and it just smells.
Roll down your windows and lap it up, right?
Oh yeah, man! I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing in the world, but those guys are the true stalwarts of tailgating. They're there to do some smoking, and they'll stay up all night, keep their fire at a certain temperature, and smoke their product all night so that when people start coming in the next morning, those ribs or that brisket or wild game, you know, in our part of the world, wild game is nothing unusual to have on the smoker.
Nope.
Like I mentioned, my dad, you know, the venison or whatever, and these doggone this wild hog epidemic. I went on down to Shawn Michaels' ranch last year in the Abilene, Texas area, and I killed my first wild hog I have to use a bow and arrow. And
that's not easy to do.
Well, it, I got lucky, and to be honest with you, but I killed a big old, about a 300 and something pound hog, and they donate those hogs. It's what's so sadistic and. You know, the PETA people and all that, but these hogs are a menace.
Yes.
They can be dangerous. They're destructive. And their meat is donated to the Texas Food Bank. So you call the state authorities, they'll come pick the hog up and go process it. And then some needy family that doesn't have anything, they got bacon and they got pork loin, they got ribs, they got, you know, pork chops. They got food.
Yep. But that's another one of those issues that gets demonized, and people don't realize that conservation of deer, hogs, you know, we have javelina down here in South Texas. You've got to get rid of them. They're not healthy when they're overpopulated.
Absolutely. But people I hate to use the word ignorant because it sounds like I'm being mean-spirited. They're just unaware of that information you just said. You've got to maintain your inventory. You gotta have some control over the populace because, and then somebody's gonna say, well, what'd they do back in the old days? Well, they still ate these animals, and It was a different time, a different era. Things change. Times change. You gotta, and these conservationists, these animal people, they know what they're doing. They know that they gotta get their herds, they gotta address these hog problems and stuff. So, but you'll find wild game like those hogs on these smokers. And if they're seasoned right and they're smoked long enough, they're not gamey. Mm-hmm. They're tender. And the other thing, they haven't been fed with all these chemicals. They haven't been fed like a feedlot calf would be. You know, their grain fed beef is inherently better than a backlot or a feedlot beef, in my view.
Right. You're right. I had Jim Knox from Fox Sports Southwest on a few weeks ago, and he said that same thing. And he's got a show on Fox Sports Southwest called Tailgate Rivals, and he said that Oklahoma was his favorite, Norman, Oklahoma was his favorite tailgate stop because of what you just said, that the variety of the meats was really more diverse there than pretty much anywhere else they go. So,
well, the only thing that I haven't experienced tailgating on the East Coast that much to get into the seafood aspect of tailgating. It's been more beef, pork, poultry, but you get into things like quail, duck. That's interesting. The wild hogs, like I said, good venison. Standard, but I've got buddies of mine that live on the East Coast that enjoy the seafood that they will prepare at their tailgates, or the guy next to them does at his tailgate, whatever it may be. So it's just a wonderful buddy, family, friends activity, and I think it's just I get angry at myself sometimes because I don't spend enough time tailgating, but then I worry about getting too full, then needing a nap, or having like that one extra glass of that apple cobbler moonshine. I'm not set too well. Well, we ran across three MDs at a West Virginia tailgate. Invited us in. They had one of their young sons was a big wrestling fan and recognized me with my black hat on. So came in, took a picture, and I think that's where he got the venison chili. But I said, I'm surprised. They said, now I'm just being flippant. How have you enjoyed your trip so far? I said, well, it's been great, except I figured that by now I'd somebody would offer me some moonshine. And I said it strictly tongue-in-cheek. And sure enough, the guy said, well, just hold on. And I don't know, I didn't even look to see where he went, if he was behind this, if it's in his truck, or he went to the next door neighbor or whatever, but they came back with that apple cobbler. He said, well, I don't know if you like apple cobbler, but this is apple cobbler moonshine. And of course, I'd never had that before. I'd had plenty of apple cobbler. It was a staple growing up, apple cobbler. So.
And maybe some moonshine, but never the combination of both, right?
No. And boy, it was just smooth. It was just darn near too smooth. And I had a couple little glasses of it, small glasses, and they said, well, are you going to be on the sideline for the game? I said, yes, I am. Well, they had watched TV and seen me out there, and they said, well, we would suggest that you shut her down at that after you get through that drink. I said, I think you're exactly right. So I never got impaired that I felt impaired, equilibrium-wise or slurring speech or what have you. But I could tell you that I had a real good feeling, and if I'd probably gone any farther, I would have got some diminishing returns on my investment on that deal. But it's just a fun thing, and I really appreciate you having me on. I hope people will try our products one time and see if you like them, and then let me know. I'm on Twitter at JRSBBQ, JRSBBQ, and let me know what you think. I'm not, I guess, using your idea. Somebody's got a suggestion on how we make something better, or here's an idea for a new product. Like I said, it's my wife and I. It's a two-man band here. So any folks who want to jump on this little train and help us out. Well, we're always willing to listen and read and think about new ideas. So it's just, I find it fun to do. It's, I probably made less money than I on this than I have anything I've done, but I've had more fun on developing these food products and trying to get them in these grocery stores than anything I've done. So it's just a labor of love. And I know that my mom's looking down, and she's happy. I'm trying to get her taste palette in these grocery stores, and one of these days we're going to be successful and get her done.
Well, Jim, I want to tell you it's been an absolute honor and a privilege to have you on Tailgate Radio. I know that I don't miss a week of the Ross Report on iTunes, and it's one of those things that we'd love to have you back and talk wrestling. I think we went half an hour and didn't mention one bit of wrestling, and I don't know how often that happens with you, but the information and the stories that you told about your background and cooking were gold as far as I'm concerned, and I really appreciate you sharing that with us.
You bet, buddy. I appreciate it, too. And people don't need to understand that tailgating can be a simple deal. One of my favorite tailgates that I remember going to was the main course was pinto beans and cornbread. And they made pinto beans and it soaked them the day before. And while they were smoking their meats, they had the pinto beans cooking all night.
Yep.
And it was absolutely fantastic. Just simple granny food, comfort foods, good stuff. So I appreciate you having me on, and we'll do it again one of these days.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. That's Jim Ross, Hall of Fame announcer, and we'll be back with more Tailgate Radio right after this.
All right, folks, that's going to about do it for this week's Best of Tailgate Radio. What a great two-part interview with WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross. Guy is busier than ever doing one-man shows in comedy clubs and arenas across the country, and he's done some boxing for Golden Boy Productions. He's done some MMA, as you heard in the interview, and wish him all the best and hope to have him back on the show, maybe live from Norman, Oklahoma, as we plan to take Tailgate Radio on the road this fall. So for everybody here at Tailgate Radio, don't forget to check us out at tailgateradio.com, also on Twitter at Tailgate Radio, and want to thank everybody here in the studios back in San Antonio, and want to thank you most of all for listening to Tailgate Radio each and every week. And as we always say, keep the drinks cold, the grill hot, and we'll see you in the parking lot. Catch your asses on down the road.